This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our great pleasure to have Dr. Matthew Harrison with us on the program. Dr. Harrison is a pro-life family physician based in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, who is Associate Director of the Culture of Life Family Services. He is also the Medical Director of the Student Health Clinic at Belmont Abbey College and instructor at the Campbell School of Osteopathic Medicine. Dr. Harrison is one of the pioneers of the abortion pill reversal method, which he used for the first time in 2006 to reverse an RU486 chemical abortion on a woman who changed her mind after taking the abortion pill. Dr. Harrison is with us today to talk about the abortion pill reversal method, how it can work to stop an RU486 abortion, and how many lives have been saved since some pro-life doctors began using it. Dr. Harrison, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Now, before we talk about the abortion pill reversal method, or APR, I'd like to talk briefly about the RU486 abortion regimen, because I think it's important for our listeners to understand how RU486 works in order to better understand how the reversal method works. Dr. Harrison, what is RU486, and how does it work to end the life of an unborn baby?
Well, RU486, also known as mifepristone or brand name Mifeprix, is a medication that's given anywhere between 7 and 9 weeks of pregnancy. And what it does is it mimics the progesterone that a woman's body naturally has that is there to support the pregnancy. And so what this does is it goes and it blocks the receptors for the progesterone, and then progesterone is not really able to perform its natural function. So when the progesterone receptor is blocked, then the baby essentially loses nutrients, loses oxygen, anything that supports that baby during the pregnancy. And essentially the placenta separates away from the uterine wall, and then the baby then comes out almost like a miscarriage or an abortion.
As I mentioned, in 2006, you used the abortion pill reversal method for the first time on a pregnant woman who had started the RU486 pill regimen and had changed her mind subsequent to that. Share with us, if you would, that story and what happened to that young baby.
Sure. So in 2006, I was working in my office, and I had relationships with different pregnancy centers in the area. And one of the crisis pregnancy centers called me, and they said that they had a young lady call them and tell them that she had just taken RU46, that she regretted it, that she wanted to do whatever she could to save her baby. And I really had no idea what to do, but I just said, asked them to send her right over. So Ashley came to my office. She's a 19-year-old young lady. There's really no antidote. There's nothing that we've been trained to do in this situation. So I told her I just really literally needed to walk out of the exam room and pray about it, which is exactly what I did. I went into my office. I looked through what's called the physician desk reference. It's a large book that has all the medications that we use. And I started thinking about how RU46 worked. And in our office at that time, Dr. Danny Holland, my partner, had gone through training for fertility treatments using progesterone. And so I started thinking, you know, if RU46 is like a key that fits into the lock but doesn't turn it, and progesterone is the key that fits into the lock but does turn it, why don't we just throw a bunch of extra good keys into the mix so that we can outcompete the bad keys? In other words, RU46, and hopefully that progesterone will kind of overpower the RU46, take its place, and be able to do its job. So pretty much just replacing progesterone that was being blocked by the RU46. So I explained this to the young lady, and I said, look, this hasn't been done, and you know, this could cause prolonged bleeding, could cause a prolonged abortion. You know, the baby might still die, and, you know, then you'd have to have a surgical removal. But she said that she was, you know, willing to accept those chances and do what she could to save her baby. So we gave her an injection and started praying for the best. That weekend, she started to bleed. So she called us and we said, listen, just go to the emergency room and see how your baby's doing. So she went, and thankfully she got to see the baby's heartbeat for the first time, which they had not shown her when she got the abortion pill. And the doctor thankfully said, look, you know, just go home and pray for the best, which is what she did. And she thankfully stopped bleeding. She came in Monday. We were able to reconfirm the heartbeat, and we continued progesterone injections twice a week up until she's about 28 weeks. And then she delivered a perfectly healthy little girl at right at 40 weeks full term. And that little girl is now 8 years old and doing wonderful. She's very healthy. She's a cheerleader on her school's football team. No problems at all. So we were just really excited. And, you know, I was really excited to meet that mom and maintain a relationship with them as patients because she's just really a hero in my eyes. She's very brave and really established, you know, a new way of looking at abortion for a lot of these women who are sometimes coerced into abortion and really have a change of heart and want to do something about it.
Well, that is an exciting, really a thrilling story, and thank you for sharing that with us. It's amazing how the Lord really opening your eyes and mine to the options and opportunities there, and thank you for your willingness to kind of step out into that and seek a new method of treatment for this. Now, how many other women have you personally treated with APR therapy, and what were the results?
So personally, I've actually only treated one more because, you know, obviously this is not something that occurs really frequently. But right now there are about 182 babies that have been born healthy. There are about 76 other women that are currently going through the protocol to reverse their abortions, and those babies are doing very well. And so we're really excited, and these moms are very excited as well.
Well, that's great. What role does timing play in the terms of the success rate of this type of treatment?
Yes, the earlier the better. And, of course, this is very new science. We are still collecting data and hope to be publishing some more data soon. But it definitely seems like you need to act within the first 72 hours. And also before the second medication, which is a labor-inducing medicine, is given. And so normally women take the abortion pill, and then 48 or 72 hours later, they take a second medication called Cytotec, and this medication causes them to go into labor, and then they expel the baby. And so we need to get the progesterone acting as quickly as possible. And it also makes a difference as to how early a woman is in her pregnancy. So the earlier she is in her pregnancy when she takes the abortion pill, the more effective it is at killing the baby. And so if she, say, is 9.5 weeks pregnant, which is actually not FDA approved, but is what we see a lot in practice, those babies have a better chance of surviving. Those embryos have a better chance of surviving. So, you know, we don't want women to think, oh, it's too late. You know, we want them to come talk to us and see what they can do. And even women we have found that have still lost their babies have felt a sense of relief and felt like, you know, at least I tried and tried to do something to save, you know, to try to correct the mistake that I'd made.
Right.
And so we're even seeing some benefits from even in the cases where women still lose their baby.
Well, Dr. Harrison, I know you're part of a growing network of pro-life doctors who are using the abortion pill reversal method. How many physicians nationwide that you are aware of are you working with? And in the process of this, are you working kind of in partnership with pregnancy resource centers?
Yes, so we have over 300 physicians nationwide, and we've had reversals in 14 countries. Across the world. So this is spreading all over. And the way it works is that when a woman regrets taking the pill and wants to change it, we have a website and a mobile application that if they just Google search abortion pill reversal or anything related to that, then our website and our mobile site will pop up. They call a 1-800 number, and then we have that staffed by nurses who are wonderful at what they do. They find out where the woman's located, get all the information, and then we then contact our network of physicians and get them to the one that's closest to them. Now, we are having more medical pregnancy resource centers are coming on board. Each one of those pregnancy centers has a physician medical director who is then in charge of maintaining these protocols and making sure that everything is done correctly.
It's great to see that network continue to grow. I do want to give you an opportunity to answer some of the critics of the abortion pill reversal method who say that, hey, there's no scientific evidence that this method works and there haven't really been any peer-reviewed scientific studies of this method. How would you respond to those critics and what they are saying to try to cast doubt on the effectiveness of this method?
Well, you know, it's really our job as scientists to cast doubt and to question. And that's what makes a good physician is questioning the established medicine, and you'll never improve unless you do ask questions. And so like any other type of new medical developments, we start with case studies. So in 2012, Dr. George Delgado and Mary Davenport, who I work with at Culture of Life Family Services, published a series of case studies in the Annals of Pharmacotherapy. Of the first six reversals were published in that journal. And four of those embryos survived and went on to have healthy deliveries, and two did not. And so a case study journal article really is just a presentation of medical events that have happened. And to ask the question, is this something that we should look into further? And so we certainly got a lot of response from that article, and a lot more people said, you know, this does look like there's some merit to it. Of course, science always has to make logical sense and scientific sense. And so what I explained earlier about how progesterone works in combating RV46 makes logical medical scientific sense. And so then you get some case studies, which we already have. And studies like this really have to be done in what we call a retrospective manner. You're not going to take 1,000 pregnant women, give them all RU46, and then give half of them progesterone and half of them placebo. That wouldn't be ethical. So what we need to do is take cases where women have decided for themselves to reverse their abortions, and then also the women have decided which method of reversal they prefer. So we've used other methods of progesterone delivery. And so that makes the data a little bit more difficult to evaluate. But we have to, utmost in this is the health and safety of the mother and the baby. And also, you know, they've been through a traumatic event already. We're not here to force them into some, you know, strict scientific protocol. So it's really something that the doctor and the patient work out as to what's the best way to go about doing this for her health and safety and peace of mind. And so this will take longer to collect this information.
Well, Dr. Harrison, unfortunately, we're just about out of time for this week, but I did want to let you have the opportunity to tell our listeners where they can go to find out more information about the abortion pill reversal method.
Yeah, so the best place to go is www.abortionpillreversal.com. Folks can get everything they need to know right there.
Dr. Matthew Harrison, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to talk with us today and for your life-saving work on behalf of women and unborn babies.
Thank you for having me.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.